welcome to The Watcher's Diaries, a weekly podcast all about Buffy. I'm Mary.
And I'm Froggy.
And this week we're talking about season 5, episode 12, Checkpoint.
Great name for this episode.
It is a fantastic name. I have no announcements, and that's good because we have, there's so much audacity in this episode, and we need to talk about it all.
Yes, yes.
So let us just dive in. Checkpoint, it aired January 31st, 2001, and our synopsis is, Buffy and company get a visit from the Council of Watchers, who possess insight into who or what Glory is. Unfortunately, they're less than forthcoming with the crucial information. As the bureaucracy takes over, a short-on-time Glory is as determined as ever to obtain the key. What are our foreign titles?
For this week, we have in Armenian, checkup.
Okay.
Check, turning point.
Okay.
Finnish, tests. French, the inspection. Germany just gets right to the point. The Watchers Council. Hungarian, halfway. Italian, the control.
I like that.
Portuguese from Brazil, the big test. Russian, check. Spanish from Latin America, the review, and Spanish from Spain, control.
I think I like control because that's really what this episode is about.
Yep. I do appreciate Germany, though, the just getting right to the point and telling you it's the Watchers Council and that's the problem this week.
I mean, Germany likes to be efficient.
They are. Yes. There is nobody more efficient than the Germans. Because I always think about the Eddie Izzard bit. Eins five, building our empire. Very German, very Prussian.
So our previously on this week is pretty much all about how the Watchers Council sucks.
I appreciate this previously on.
It's how they fired Giles, how Buffy fired them because they suck. And then we're also reminded that Dawn overheard a certain conversation in the dining room. Then we're off to the Summers house, which is looking a little cluttered. Apparently, Joyce still isn't 100%, and Buffy, not so good with the cleaning. The Scoobies assure her it's fine. It's just them. But she tries her best to tidy, finding one of Riley's sweaters in the process. There's not really time for moping, though, because Giles has news. The council has found something. And not only that, they're coming to Sunnydale. Yay. Buffy does not want the council coming there. Not at all. Xander backs this. Because don't they have phones? Can't they just be all, hello, Buffy? It is what we know, pip pip. Yeah, phones. Buffy likes phones. Tara doesn't get it. Aren't they good guys? Isn't this just more Giles's? They're scary and horrible. Trying to calm things down a bit. Giles admits they can be a bit hard-nosed, but in the end, their agenda is the same as the Scoobies. They want to save the world, kill demons. But only the current demons, right? Anya would like that clarified.
I do love Anya in this episode. Anya is trying so hard.
So good. So good.
And that's again, like Emma's performance in every scene, she steals it. Like,
yeah, she's a great comedic actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like her timing and her delivery, especially when she is doing something like this, like she's going to have to try to appear human when she's learning how to be human.
Buffy doesn't care. She doesn't want them there. Giles needs to make them not be there. Giles says it's most likely too late. They're already on their way. Quentin is heading up the delegation. Fucking Quentin.
Oh, fuck Quentin. Of course. Of course. We love Harold Yulin. We do. And he does this so well.
They put Buffy through that test and almost killed her. And then when she was Faith, they tried to kill her again. She really can't handle being almost killed at the moment. Anya doesn't like this. They don't sound very ex-demon compatible. Tara wants to know if they're sure they're even British. She thought British people were, you know, gentler than normal people. Willow sure won't be that bad. Last time they thought she was Faith. Now that she's her, she doesn't even care enough to try and kill her. It's not just that. It's a delicate time. She has to take care of Dawn and... Yeah, but that's not new. Xander interjects, reminding us all that the rest of the Scoobies don't know yet about Dawn. To them, Buffy's always taking care of Dawn, who is, at this moment, creeping down the steps and attempting to listen in. The gang's voices fade a bit as we go close in on her face. Before she can hear too much, however, Joyce is there, telling her it's late and she should be in bed. Hearing that, Buffy, a bit panicked, calls out asking Dawn if she was listening. She was getting a snack. She can get a snack if she wants. She was listening. So Willow doesn't see the big deal. She highly doubts Dawn is going to set the junior high ablaze with the news that a delegation is coming. Yeah, but sometimes they say things and never mind. Giles was saying something. Just that if the council can help them, give them some insight on Glory's agenda or her origins, it might point them in the right direction. Because right now, they're lost. Speaking of Glory, she is not looking well, as it's been a while since she last fed. Thankfully, Dreg and the other minions have brought her a postal worker. Dreg helps Glory over to him, and she does her little fingers and brain thing, sucking out a sanity. Instantly, she's better and ready to hear what news her minions have. Well, it appears the alignment may happen sooner than expected, which means if she's going to use the key, she needs to act quickly. Great. She's cooled her heels in that crap town long enough. She's done with its lack of retail outlets and Mousy the Vampire Slayer. Yes, she doesn't have much time. If Mousy is the only thing between her and the key, she doesn't need much time. Credits. Still awesome. We return from the credits to the magic shop where Giles is helping a customer when Quentin, fucking Quentin, and six other watchers arrive. Giles didn't realize he was bringing so many people. Does he want to introduce them? Actually, he thinks he and Giles should catch up first. Of course, he shows Quentin the shop as the other watchers kind of just wander around and talks about how interesting the transition to retail has been. He does limit his time there, however, and he and Buffy have a training area in the back where... Giles! Stop trying to impress this man!
Stop, yeah. But, and that's the thing. Like, the funny thing is, he is just falling back on old habits.
He is, but Quentin is a garbage person! It just... Ugh!
We know this. We know this.
And it's clear in his next line where he is telling Giles that he would have thought the backspace would have been for locking up the really dangerous items. The ones not for public sale. But maybe he doesn't care about that. Oh my God, I hate this man so much.
Oh, and Harold Ulin plays him so... He always does so well at the, like, slimy cat. Like, he's still a good... He's a good man, like, but he's just so set in his ways and he's played so well. Like, I always think about him in Ghostbusters 2.
Yes. As the judge. Yes.
Like, I always see him at the bench just getting more and more fired up as the ghosts are getting fired up.
Giles says he's very careful. And one of the watchers points out that most of the stuff in the shop is harmless. Though there are some things, like a statue from Burma, which another watcher points out was removed illegally, and has the power to melt eyeballs if activated. Wait. Hold on. Did Joyce obtain that statue for Giles? Is her black market smuggling ring supplying him with artifacts for the shop?
That is the only thing that I can think of. Is that she is getting him stuff, like, whenever she's finding good historical art for her purposes, she's also finding things for Giles.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. It has to be, because, like, where else would he... Giles would never illegally remove something. Mm-hmm. Like, where else is he getting this stuff from? It has to be Joyce. They have to be working together, and I love Joyce. That.
Yep.
Quentin, being the asshole he is, tells Giles he is terribly sorry, but it's just for the duration of their stay. Wait, what? What's for the duration of their stay? The watcher, who had previously been behind the counter, announces to everyone in the shop that the magic box is now closed. No! Anya doesn't like this! The customers! She needs them to bring their money back! Giles calls Quentin out immediately. He decided to do this before he ever laid eyes on the shop. Again, Quentin apologizes. It's just while the council is performing their review. Council? They're the council. Well then, welcome to their shop. Anya gives them a bright smile. They're closed now, so she'll be in the back. Giles needs Quentin to slow down. What review? Quentin, however, just stops Anya. She works there? Yes, she does. Ever since she moved there from Indiana, where she was raised by a mother and a father. Giles tells her to just go and go in the back. She doesn't need to talk to them. He then once again asks Quentin what he means by review. No one said anything about a review. Quentin says perhaps they should sit down and talk about it for a minute. As they approach the table, Giles tells the other watchers to just stand around and look sober. Good job. Quentin points out how once upon a time, Giles respected them, was one of them. Yeah, and once upon a time, they used to pay him. But then, you know, Quentin fired him. Still, they were on the same side once. Giles knows what kind of resources the council has available to them. They've discovered some information about this creature, this glory. Some is vital and the rest is just extremely disturbing. But it won't be handed over until the council is convinced that Giles and his slayer are ready for it. Thus, the review. Giles, not having it.
No.
He's not having Quentin put her through another of the council's insane tests. It's not a test. It's a check of her methods. They need to make sure this info is safe with them, will be handled properly. Giles says they can trust Buffy. She's come far, gained a lot of focus. Cue Buffy not at all focusing on the history lecture she is currently sitting in.
You know what? I can't blame her for this, though.
Yeah.
She's great with the Slayer.
She is. But, okay, before we get into that, let's talk about the delegation. So, aside from Quentin, who we've talked about in the past, the delegation consists of six watchers. Three of whom are named and three of whom are not. The named ones are Nigel, Philip, and Lydia. Nigel is played by Chris Iyer, who appeared on another WB show, Felicity, as well as Babylon 5, The West Wing, and Scrubs. Philip is probably the one everyone recognized right off the bat, as he is played by Oliver Muirhead.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver has been in everything, and we do mean everything. The Young and the Restless, Who's the Boss, Married with Children, Step by Step, Austin Powers, MVP, the Chip movie we talked about in Into the Woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was in that stupid movie.
And its sequel! There are two hockey playing chimp movies, and he was in both.
They had to have gotten him because of the chimp movie. They had to have been like, you were in this chimp movie.
So yeah, he has literally done everything. And then Lydia is Cynthia LaMontagne, who ironically was also in Austin Powers as one of the fembots. And she also did a few episodes of That 70s Show. Our unnamed watchers are played by Jack Thomas, John O'Leary, and Jessica Biscardi. Jack hasn't done a ton, but he did do a few episodes of Scrubs and Desperate Housewives. John O'Leary has been around forever and did such things as like the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, Nero Wolf, Airplane, Taxi, Murder, She Wrote. His career is very long and varied.
Yes, he was born in 1926.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he unfortunately passed away in 2019. I mean, he was 93 years old, so.
And then Jessica also has a few things on her resume. Fantasy Island, Cheers, Falcon Crest, The X-Files. So that is our watcher delegation. But yeah, back to class. And Rasputin, who the professor is currently talking about. Buffy's kind of only half paying attention until the professor mentions how Rasputin was near impossible to kill, which causes Buffy to think out loud for a moment. Of course, that catches the professor's attention and he has Buffy stand up. She had a question? Not really. They poisoned Rasputin, stabbed him, shot him, but he didn't die. No, not until they rolled him in a carpet and drowned him in the river. Yeah, but there are reported sightings of him as late as the 1930s. The professor assures her that there is a near consensus in the academic community about the death of Rasputin. Okay, but there was a near consensus about Columbus too until somebody thought to ask the Vikings. what they were up to in the 14th century. And they were all like discovering this America-shaped continent. She just thinks it could be interesting to look at it from a different angle. This professor is a jackass.
Oh, he is a jerk.
Like talking about facts and how wasn't it last week Buffy was commenting on the unusual sleeping patterns of Prussian generals. Maybe she'd like to teach her own course, Flights of Fancy 101. Like, what the fuck?
I know. Like, this is the type of professor that everybody hates. Like, they cannot be challenged on any idea. You know, they are not open to any type of differing thing. Where, yeah, she's right, you know, but God, what an asshole.
Oh, he's the worst. Sitting, Buffy remains quiet the rest of the class, but does take her frustration out on a vampire later, kicking its ass as she rants about what happened. So much so that the vampire begins to question just who she is talking to. The vampire manages to get Buffy on the ground when here comes Spike, launching himself at the vampire and staking him. Spike! Why'd he do that? Not for money, if that's what she's thinking. No, her heartfelt gratitude will be enough. Gratitude for getting in her way. Getting in her way? He saved her! She was regrouping. She was about to be regrouped into several different piles. She needed help. Well, she didn't need him. She never needs him. Oh, he gets it. She just didn't like that he did the rescuing. Probably wishes he was her boyfriend, old what's his... Oh, wait. He ran off.
Oh, Spike.
She doesn't need a boyfriend. Not to rescue her and not for any other reason. Don't need or can't keep. She keeps making notches in the headboard, but eventually they get up out of the bed and run off. Spike, my dude. This is not how we woo the ladies.
I know. I like that's my favorite part of the scene. Like, he's doing the whole like, I'm gonna be mean to you because I love you and I don't like
that. I'm gonna pull your pigtails and hit you with French bread.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye. I love you.
Buffy tells him he's disgusting. Rough talk. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe she pushes them all away. Or is it the other? She clings too much. Or maybe her beauty's fading. Stress of slaying is aging her prematurely. Buffy's just about had it. The more she gets to know Spike, the more she wishes she hadn't. Spike just continues on. Maybe it's just she doesn't hold their interests. And then he's gone too, leaving a not so happy Buffy. Again, Spike, using his words, going back to those poet roots of choosing just the right thing to say. Of course, in this case, it's to wound. Kind of like he did with Xander and Willow last season.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find interesting is Buffy's line about the more she gets to know him. Because we all now know that this is not who he really is.
Yep.
This is not like William. This is not his core. This is the bravado he puts on. So she isn't talking to the real him in these moments. The real him is like the him that was sitting with her mm-hmm. on the porch. And that's why she actually does kind of like knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she gets to see, like when she sees that Spike, she gets to see a different side of a vampire. And it's not the angel, I have a soul vampire. This is Spike choosing to be a different type of vampire.
At the hospital, Ben is heading out for the night when Dreg catches him. Can they chat for a moment? They step into one of the rooms and Ben says, don't touch him. He's crusty. What does he want? Not him, Glorificus. She wants more information on the Slayer. She knows Ben knows her. The Slayer? He doesn't know any Slayer. Now go away. He's not supposed to be there. But Dreg is adamant that he does. She's short, symmetrical, gold hair on top. Buffy something. Buffy Summers is the Slayer? That's the one. Very good. How does Glory know this? He doesn't know. He wasn't there. But the beauteous Glory. She asks that Ben tells them where her dwelling is. Who her friends are. Why? So Glory can find her? Do something to her? Why would he do that? Dreg does not know. He just knows that Glory says for him to do it. For her. That was the message. Well, he's got a message for Glory, too. We don't get to know what this message is right away, but we'll find out later, and I think we all can guess.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm really sad that the twist wasn't that they turned out to be siblings, because yeah. I think a scene between Ben and Glory was something we all deserved.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the twist, you know, the twist is interesting, but, you know, having it be that they were siblings would have been extra interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, every time I see Ben, my mind cannot comprehend that he is Frank from How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's a Ben Glory situation.
It is a Ben Glory situation.
Because every episode I go and I look up a picture of him in How to Get Away with Murder. And like, I can't, my brain just refuses to comprehend that they're the same person. So like, it's a Ben Glory situation.
Yeah, you can see it a bit, but not, it is very, the beard makes like so much difference.
Yeah, yeah. And especially like, because this, you know, his episodes, it's so far removed from How to Get Away with Murder. He lost that baby face. Like, he has such a baby face, but yeah, it's just, and I mean, yeah, it's such a different character too. Like, yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same person.
The council is once again at the magic shop, Giles telling them all about the hybrid fighting style they've developed. Giles thinks once they see a demonstration, they'll agree that a full review is completely unnecessary. The door opens and Buffy starts to enter. Seeing the council, she immediately turns to leave because bad day.
That's one of the things that you do. Like, you see something you don't want to deal with and you're like, nope.
Sadly, the council has seen her. And so Quentin beckons her inside with a Miss Summers. How nice to see her again. Mr. Giles was just telling them all about her training regiment. Perhaps she'd like to give them a demonstration while they're there. Now? No need to rush. Giles tells Buffy that, unfortunately, they're staying a little longer than he anticipated. Yay. Quentin says they've already laid out their project to Giles. That's when Nigel steps in. An extensive review of her methods. They'll be looking at her training procedures, talking to her friends. Her friends? Yes. As they understand, she is still taking civilians out into the field. Oh, they have got to be kidding her. Quentin senses her resistance, and he doesn't blame her. But he does think Giles has neglected to remind her of the status of all the players in their little game. The council fights evil. The Slayer is the instrument through which the council fights. The council remains. The Slayers change. It has been that way since the beginning. Laid out in black and white. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
The Slayers are nothing but tools to these people.
Yep.
They have no agency besides that which the council allows them. And if a Slayer strays too far from the path they wish her to take, well, that's what things like the Crucia Mentum is for.
You know, and like, the thing is, like, unless you have a Slayer like Kendra.
Yeah.
Who is, we compared Kendra to being like with the, like being a Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, unless it is somebody who is raised with this absolute purpose from the time she is little, you're fucking doomed with a modern day Slayer.
You are.
You know, unless you are recognizing early and starting their training early, you know, and the whole thing with Buffy was they found her very late.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you can't do things the way you did things for centuries in a modern era. And that's the biggest problem with the Watchers Council, is that they refuse to change their methods and realize that you can't do shit the same way.
Exactly. Because, like, I mean, I guess it was always a little weird in some instances that this, like, person would just show up at your house and be like, mm-hmm. hello, I've come. But we know from, like, Arthurian legend and other things that, like, the idea of, like, fostering your child with someone who could teach them
mm-hmm.
was a much bigger thing in, like, the Middle Ages. So this person coming here and saying, like, I want to, like, foster your daughter, I want to teach her. And so parents would have been a lot more accepting of that in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, or like pretending to be a tradesman and wanting to take, like, your daughter to teach her
Yeah.
I think it modern day parents are going to be like, what the fuck, creeper?
Oh, yeah.
Get off my front doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody came to my house and said, hey, your child has this mystic destiny, you know, let us take him and train him. And I'd be like, the fuck?
Yes.
Like, please keep your cult away from my house.
On that vein, everybody should check out The Dad Who Lives.
Oh my God.
On TikTok.
Absolutely.
Because this is the kind of shit we talk about. Like, this man is like, no, if I was a parent, I'd be like, no, you're not going. I'm sorry all your friends are chasing spiders in the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah.
But a couple of his recent episodes have been about taking on the tribunal in defense of his daughter's friend who is the chosen one.
Yeah.
So that has a very taking on the Watchers Council feel to it. So please, we'll link him this week, but please go watch this man's videos.
Yeah.
The best.
It's just, you know, the first one that I saw was him going in his freezer and being like, why is there blood in here?
Why, Brad.
But why can't Brad have his own freezer? Like, we're not going to keep the blood next to the ice cream. So, from that moment, I'm like, oh, this guy is our hero. It's just all random shenanigans.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good.
I describe it as if Charlie Swan from Twilight actually knew what was going on.
Yes. Somebody also, I saw in the comments of one of the videos that somebody said that the character he plays in those videos would be the best use of the mundane player type in Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
And I was yes, absolutely.
Yep.
But yeah, so Giles knows this is all bullshit because honestly, being fired was the best thing that ever happened to Giles.
Yeah, it gave him a new...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was never all in. We know that. We know that from his rebellion at the beginning.
Yeah, he was all in. He was all in until he met Buffy.
And we know that Quentin never liked him. But we also know from supplemental materials that is linked to a long history of the Travers and Giles families.
Yeah.
But... That final separation, that being fired, it allowed Giles to see the council for what they were.
Yep.
And I love this episode. This episode makes me angry,
mm-hmm.
but I love it. And a huge part of it is the ending, which we'll talk about in depth. But episodes like this, they demonstrate why this show is still relevant 3 decades later.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, and I mean, even in the 90s, just replace the word slayers with women. Look at everything that has happened since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Governing boards and states are trying to take our agency.
Yep.
And I don't want to go too much into that because there will be flames on both our faces and we'll be here for 6 hours.
Yeah.
But this argument that the council is presenting that you are our instrument. It's the thing we're hearing from all these governing bodies, and in this struggle, it hits deep.
And it sucks because the shit that we had to deal with for so long is still going on and is still impacting our daughters. And
yeah.
I mean, there are times where as a parent, I am grateful that I don't have a daughter. For all of this, I hear my friends with daughters that are terrified for what the future will hold. And that's the thing. It's like, this is a bunch of dusty old men trying to control women.
Yeah.
Fuck the council. I mean, and it rings true. And I mean,
it's,
you know, the council is just a symbol of what women have had to deal with throughout history. And mm-hmm. this is Quentin trying to hold on to power and trying to hold on to the ways that they have had for centuries.
Yeah. And again, like I said, we'll talk about it a lot at the end of this episode. But this is what happens when old white men find out they're irrelevant. Because that's what's happening is the council realizes they're irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Quentin, Quentin wants to talk to Buffy because he thinks she's understanding him. Gloria's stronger than her. A more powerful instrument, if you will. And they have info that can help, which they will gladly give her if she passes the review. Fail the review, either by incompetence or resisting their recommendations, resisting their recommendations. Giles is not having it.
What the fuck were they planning on doing without Buffy?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about that later, about what they're going to do if they don't have Buffy. So she fails if she doesn't do exactly what they say. How much under their thumb do they think they are? How much do they want their help? Oh, they did it now. Giles is angry. He's fired up because Buffy is not their instrument and they have no right to do any of this. The only thing keeping Giles from getting physical with Quentin is Philip, who has his arm out to keep Giles from getting too close.
Yeah.
Buffy says his name, asking him to stop, and Quentin continues.
You pissed off Dad.
Mm-hmm. He knows they think this is unfair, but he would think certain factors would inspire them to cooperate. They could shut the magic box down permanently. On that, Buffy calls their bluff. No, they can't. They don't have that kind of power. They do, and a great deal more. I love that Buffy calls them out because this is some bullshit. Like, complete and utter bullshit. And I know, like, Giles is going to say, like, in a little bit that they do have pull. And, like, they ask Shadow Agency and all. But if they clearly can't control as much as they would like everyone to think they do, or else so many other things would have disappeared.
Yeah.
Like the supposed murder charge brought against Buffy at the end of season two,
mm-hmm.
or the records that she was the one who burned down the gym. Like, we all know the council does not give two shits about these girls, but I do bet they care about things that make their lives harder. And a Slayer constantly under scrutiny and in trouble with the law is going to make their lives harder. Mm-hmm. So if they have all this power, why didn't they make that shit disappear?
Because they fucking suck.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
That's the theme.
There's really, nothing else you can say. Like,
no.
They come out of their fucking holes whenever they feel threatened. Yeah.
Quentin just continues with his scare tactics. If she insists on fighting this, they will arrange to have Giles deported, never to set foot in this country again. She may be used to idle threats and sloppy discipline, but she's dealing with grown-ups now. Fuck you!
Oh.
Fuck you.
She has had to be a grown-up since she started this whole thing.
Since she was 15.
You know, and she's going to have to, like, she doesn't know it yet. But in a little bit of time, she's going to grow up a lot faster.
Yeah. Like, you're told at 15, you are part of this mystical destiny that you have to save the world. But, oh, yeah, your life also has an expiration date. You probably will not live to see 21.
Yep.
She's been a grown up for 5 years now. Don't talk to her like she's a child. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate these people.
I know. Oh. And plus, it's so, and again, it's something that men do to women all the time. It's infantilizing.
Yeah.
You know, Buffy is still, you know, she's still in college. She's not completely adult, but she's not a fucking kid either. And especially, no. Like, this is, you know, it's one of those things where when you've been in a fight for half of your life, you grow up fast.
Yeah.
Buffy has seen death more than anybody her age should have. I think she's pretty damn grown up.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, Quentin.
Back at Glory's, we see that Dreg is looking a little worse for the wear. Ben's message to Glory. He isn't going to help. Not going to help. But all he has to do is turn over that squirmy little Slayer girl. If he knows where Glory can start looking for her key, why won't he help? He knows her. He could go talk to her, seduce her, and bang the key out of her. Dreg agrees. He is quite attractive. Of course he's attractive, but he drives her insane. Does he know what she means? He drives her insane. Yes, that's it. Exactly. Going to drag Glory curls into him. Sweet lumpy minion. He's the only one who understands. Probably because she hasn't sucked his brain out yet. But it just makes her so mad. If she could just get her hands on him, you know? She'll just find her herself. Back at the shop, Giles is telling Buffy that it's all just a power play. It's just about who has the power. Buffy's guessing they do. That it's a big old power outage in Buffy County. Giles said he should have just let Buffy go loose on them, but Buffy, she can't hit Travers. He's like 60. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's older than that, Buff.
Yeah, yeah.
Can she? No, Giles supposes not. But he could. He thinks he will. Buffy wants to know, can they really do the stuff they threatened? Take him out of the country? In a heartbeat. Giles says when it comes to pulling political strings, they're the best in the world. I call bullshit on that. They want everyone to think they're the best in the world. And yeah, in England, they probably have a lot of sway.
Yeah.
But like, on what grounds could they possibly get Giles deported?
Yeah. I really think this is Quentin just...
Like, he assumes no one's going to call his bluff.
I think, though, when you're working with somebody like Giles who has a green card and he has to, you know, toe the line and, you know, he's in another country, that he is not a citizen of this country.
Giles, you should have gotten your citizenship.
Seriously, at this point, Giles, I mean, how long
he's been there? It's been there at least 5 years, 5.5 years, depending on how long before he met Buffy, he came over.
Yeah. Yeah. Giles, you should have gotten a citizenship.
I mean, maybe he's tried and, like, red tape he can, but, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe the Watchers Council is keeping that red tape going, so they have this, I don't know. But I think Quentin's just talking out his ass.
Yeah, but it is something that he's afraid, you know, could happen.
Giles is so worked up that he has broken his glasses.
Oh my God, poor Giles.
Buffy wants to know, is she going to be able to get through this review? Well, Giles supposes they'll make it as hard as they can, so yes, the physical stuff may be a bit of a challenge. That's not what Buffy's worried about. It's the other stuff, examining the decision she's made. Twice now, she's been within slaying distance of glory, and twice now, she has kicked Buffy's ass without so much as tensing a muscle. And she can't figure out anything about her, except that she wants the key, which Buffy has, but she also doesn't know if it's okay to tell anyone about that. Giles tells her that no one could have done any better than she did. Maybe, but no one else is going to be asked these questions. Questions she can't answer.
Giles is such a good dad.
He is. They're going to expect her to be like a slayer and know stuff, but she's just her and she doesn't know anything. They're going to go away and they're not going to tell her about Glory and she's not going to be able to protect Dawn. Giles tells her to calm down. The scandal here is not anything she's done. She's done nothing wrong. The problem is the way in which the council is behaving, holding what they know hostage. Buffy says it's smart. By threatening to remove Giles, they pick the perfect thing because she can't lose him. They sit in silence for a moment and then Buffy says she should probably get ready. How does he think they'll start? Which is when we go into the interview sequence. Different members of the council interviewing the various members of the Scooby Gang and Spike. They start with Anya, who says her full name is Anya Christina Emanuela Jenkins. This is apparently the first time Jenkins is used, as other official sources, such as the yearbook and trading cards, used Emerson as her last name until this point. She tells them she was born on the 4th of July, which she has heard about ever since, being called her parents' little patriot as a child, which was when she was smaller and therefore shorter than she is now. Apparently, like 90% of this, she just offered up voluntarily as Philip is still on the spelling of her name. Willa and Tara are ready to answer questions until Nigel asks about their relationship. Their relationship? They're friends. Close friends. Girlfriends, actually. They're lovers. He meant their relationship to the Slayer.
Nigel got way more than he asked for. But to be fair, he did not specify their relationship to Buffy.
This is true. Oh, they're just good friends. Best friends. Xander tells Philip that they're Buffy's best friends and that they've been with her since the beginning. Or at least he and Willow have. Going on patrol with her, helping with demon research. Has he mastered any fighting disciplines over the years? No. So then he has no special skills or powers or knowledge that he brings into the mix. Shut up, Philip.
Dude, you sound like all those people that just hate on Xander to hate on Xander.
Huh. Anya says they have enthusiasm for killing the demons. Go deadness for the demons. Xander says he doesn't have any powers, but he does help. How? Be specific. Did he not just tell you he does research?
Yeah.
Like, he literally just told you the answer to this question. Xander tells him about how they defeated Adam, about how he, Willow, and Giles merged with Buffy, and how he was the heart. But it's not as weird as it sounds. Anya nods. It was all very professional. So then he's saying that the Slayer needs that level of help often. No, Willow shakes her head. Buffy doesn't need help. Tara says she'd be just fine without them. In fact, sometimes she goes off and does stuff without even telling them. Not that she's a weird loner or anything. Tara's not sure they're saying this right. Willow tries again. See, they can help because they do magic. Willow's actually working on this ball of sunshine thing because she has this theory. Tara says it's very cool. And if it works, it will make slaying easier for Buffy. Not that it's hard now. Interesting. Nigel would like to know what level they're at. Level? Yes. Magical proficiency level? Willow says high. Very, very high. Like one of the top levels. And Tara just blurts out 5. As Nigel writes that down, Willow looks at Tara and Tara shrugs. I don't know. It seemed like a good idea. And they're registered as practicing witches under the names they gave to him. Registered? Yes. Yes, of course they're registered. Okay. First off, there are two ways this registering could go, right? Mm-hmm. Like either this is some gingerbread-esque bullshit or it's a high coven and they offer membership and help to all known practitioners. Mm-hmm. The first, as we said, bullshit and another scare tactic.
Yeah.
The second, if this was a thing, Giles would have told Willow about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or so I feel. He's known a lot of witches and sorcerers in his day. And honestly, so has Anya. So why wouldn't they have said anything? I am over the council. Good day sirs.
Also, I think another thing is it does exist, but it's not something that is compulsory that you have to join. And Giles didn't tell Willow. And, you know, didn't tell Will and Tara about it because it's not, you know, whatever. He just wants them to do their own thing.
Yeah. But I'm just like, no, sir. No. Now Philip wants to know about the key.
You know what? It's probably a really dusty organization, too.
Oh, probably.
You know.
Now Philip wants to know about the key. Do either Anya or Xander know anything about it? Nope. Sounds demon-y to Anya. And she doesn't associate with that demon nonsense. Muffin? She baked them herself. Philip declines. Buffy sometimes protects them from the more dangerous elements of their work. Yes. She's saved Xander's life many times. The vampires in this town hate her. Talking to Spike, Lydia says he helps the Slayer. Okay. we need to set this scene for you guys. Because, like, with all the others, they're just sitting there, standing there, talking. But with Spike, Lydia is standing behind two of the unnamed watchers as they hold out crosses and weaponry like Spike is going to attack them at any moment.
And yeah, it's such a great image. And it's so great to have Lydia in the background. Like she's taking notes while these two guys, and the looks on their faces as they're staring at Spike. But also, I would love to have seen the scene where everybody was getting their assignments for each of the people. And Philip was supposed to go see Spike and Lydia was like, oh, hell no. My dissertation.
Absolutely volunteered for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they Lydia was probably supposed to go somewhere else. They didn't want her going to Spike. And she was like, hell no.
He helps out sometimes, yeah. She pays him. She pays him. The Slayer gives him money? Money, little nip of blood out of some stray victim, whatever. Blood. Yeah, but you know, that is very scandalous, isn't it? Personally, he is shocked. Might be because she's slipping. He's noticed a decline in her work. Oh yeah, see, poor little thing. Can't keep a man. Gets it down. A few more disappointments and she'll be crying on his shoulder. Is that what he wants?
Spike, help better.
I think you'd want to kill her. You've killed Slayers before. Hmm. Heard of me, have you? He steps forward, smirking, and the two unnamed watchers, they keep their items steady. But Lydia looks a little flushed. As she admits she did her thesis on Spike. Well, well. Isn't that neat? Spike says, now that they're all such good friends, how's the Slayer doing? Is she okay? High marks in all categories. Which brings us to Buffy in the training room, being blindfolded as Quentin talks about the qualities the Slayer must possess to do her job. Agility, clarity, stamina, and strength. Giles doesn't get all this nonsense. If they want her to attack the dummy, no. Philip is going to attack the dummy. Buffy's job is to protect the dummy. Protect the dummy as if it were precious. Quentin says attacking Philip will require agility. Listening to his instructions at the same time will require clarity. And, well, stamina and strength are kind of self-explanatory. Wait, instructions? Yes, he'll be telling her how to fend off attacks. Give her the proper Japanese names for various Aikido and Jiu-Jitsu attacks. Japanese? No one follows up or clarifies. Lydia just hits the start button on her stopwatch. Go. Hold on! In America, they kind of work up to... Quentin gives her an instruction and Giles translates. Bow. She does, and Philip begins to circle her. Buffy's doing pretty good tracking him. Until Quentin yells out more moves, which Giles also attempts to translate. It makes Quentin question what he's been teaching her. He's been teaching her to win. Eventually, Buffy says she just has to do it her way and attacks Philip. She's doing good. Great, even. Except she kind of throws Philip's battle axe into the dummy and knocks over both it and Nigel. Oops. Philip says he thinks Buffy broke a rib and she apologizes, saying she can try again. Maybe Buffy, why are you apologizing for breaking his rib? He was in the role of an attacker and you did what you would do in that circumstance. Don't apologize.
Don't apologize, Buffy.
Anyway, Quentin says they don't need to see any more of the physical. What he's interested in now is her strategies, diving down deep into that mind of hers. They'll begin at 7. Give her time to do whatever it is she does to prepare. They depart, and Buffy and Giles give each other a look. Both are worried, but Giles is trying to be reassuring. Heading home for a bit, Buffy arrives to find not her mom, but Glory, who fills in for Joyce by asking her, "Long day, sweetie?" So this is where the Slayer eats, sleeps, combs her hair. Glory looks around for a sec before picking up a picture of Buffy. So cute! She can't even stand it. Personally, though, she needs more space. But this is good for her. It's quaint. Buffy goes to grab a fireplace poker, but Glory's there in an instant. She didn't come to fight. If she did, Buffy would know it by being dead already. So play nice, little girl. What does she want? The key. Why else does she think Glory's come there? She thinks Buffy knows where it is. And that's a good thing. Buffy's glad to hear she thinks so. It's the only thing keeping Buffy alive right now. Because she might be tiny queen in vampire world, but to Glory, she's a bug. As Glory's been talking, Dawn has entered the room, something that makes Buffy internally panic more than a little. Buffy tries to subtly motion for Dawn to leave as Glory continues. Buffy should be on her knees worshiping her, but no. She still thinks it's neat to be the Slayer. To have strength normal humans don't. Glory could still crush her, and she wouldn't even break a nail. But she needs the key. Hey, kid, she calls out to Dawn. Come here a sec. Buffy tells Glory to leave Dawn alone, that is between the two of them. Wrong. This is between Glory and her key. Buffy just seems to be the thing in the way. Summoning Dawn with a snap, Glory says, she is just the most darlingest thing Glory has ever seen in her life. What's her name? Dawn. Dawn. Well, did Dawn know that Buffy took her key and she won't give it back? Glory bet she knows where she put it, doesn't she? Buffy tells Glory Dawn doesn't know anything, but Dawn says she knows some stuff. Glory bets Buffy takes Dawn's stuff all the time without asking, doesn't she? Where's her key? Buffy tells Dawn to go upstairs. Turning towards Buffy, Dawn says she's always talking about stuff she doesn't think Dawn understands, but she's going to figure it out.
Dawn, don't help.
Don't help at all.
Dawn, don't help. Now is not the time to be bratty younger sister. Especially because you are what they're talking about.
As she goes upstairs, Glory says she likes her. She's sassy. But Glory will still kill her. Her, Buffy's mom, Buffy's friends. And she'll make her watch while she does it. Just give her the key. Because either she has it or she knows where to find it. Glory tells her this is a one-time deal. The next time they meet, something Buffy loves dies bloody. Buffy knows she can't take her. Or stop her. And with that, Glory is gone. Just as Joyce enters. Who was that? Pack a bag. And so we're off to Spike's crypt, where Buffy, along with Dawn and Joyce, have barged in. What's with the family outing? She needs help. Great. He needs some cash. She's serious. He has to look after Dawn and Joyce. Spike's a bit surprised. That's a boatload of manly responsibility to come flying out of nowhere. What's the matter? She's not feeling 100%. Did they put a chip in her head? Because it would be kind of funny if they... Spike! She needs an answer. Now, in or out? He's the only one strong enough to protect them. All right, then. Going over to his future in-laws, Spike welcomes them to his home. Buffy tells Joyce to keep Dawn there as long as possible. She'll be back as soon as she can. She then goes to remind Spike about what will happen to him if anything happens to them. But he knows she'll stake him good and proper, which she could use a new threat as that one's getting kind of stale. She leaves and Joyce says she really likes what he's neglected to do with the place. Spike tells them just not to break anything and not to make a lot of noise. Passions is on. Passions! Joyce is so excited. Spike's into that as well. Does he think Timmy is really dead? No, he's just a doll, isn't he? She can sew him back together. Well, what about the wedding? Dawn cannot roll her eyes enough at being stuck there with the two of them and their soap operas.
I love Joy. And we've said this since the beginning. We've said this since the first moment Joyce was at the dining room table with Spike. Their friendship is the most beautiful friendship.
It is. It is pure.
It is. Like, he legitimately likes Joyce. And Joyce likes it. Like, Joyce likes him. And she is so delighted to find out that this scary vampire watches Passions.
Uh-huh. Back at the shop, the gang is sitting in the loft, watching as the council members move about the store, inspecting everything. Willow calls them fascists. And Tara wants to know why Giles doesn't just boot them out of the store. Because they'll deport him. He won't just be forced out of the country. He'll be doomed to a lifetime of blood sausage, bangers, and match. Yeah, so I know I mentioned Gingerbread earlier, but the parallel kind of seems to hold because here they are coming in and potentially removing / confiscating some of Giles's books.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin points out that Buffy is 20 minutes late and counting. She'll be there. Yes, but when? When she gets there, shut up! Buffy is currently attempting to get there, hurrying along the mean streets of Sunnydale. But as she does, she's attacked by three knights? She has no time for this. And so asks, can they do this another time? They attack, so clearly the answer is no. Which, fine. Buffy goes on the defensive, taking them out until it's just her and one other. As she gets him on the ground, she unmasks him. He says he is a knight of Byzantium, an ancient order that is now Buffy's enemy. So they work for glory? Never. She must be mad if she thinks they would ever align themselves with the Beast. Yeah, well, they're the ones who attacked her. And they were fools to come three alone. 100, 1,000, it does not matter. However many men it takes, they will send. As long as Buffy protects the key, the Brotherhood will never stop. Not until it and she are destroyed. So go on, kill him, and let legions follow. Climbing off of him, Buffy gets up and takes his sword, telling him to go. And being smart, he does. Which takes us to the end of this. The magic shop. Buffy enters, still carrying the sword. As she comes down the steps approaching the group, Quentin tells her she's late. She is. Was there an attack? Giles notices the sword and is concerned. Yeah. Quentin, though, he doesn't care. He just wants to get on to the review. He says they'll skip the more obvious questions, but Buffy just lays down the sword, pointy end across his notebook and directed at him. There isn't going to be a review. He's sorry? No review. No interrogation. No questions they know she can't answer. No hoops. No jumps. And, as Nigel starts to say something, no interruptions. See, she's had a lot of people talking at her the last few days. Everyone just lining up to tell her how unimportant she is. And she's finally figured out why. Power. She has it. They don't. This bothers them. Glory came to her house today just to talk. She told Buffy she was a bug, a flea. She could squash her in a second. Only she didn't. She came into her home and they talked. They had what, in her warped brain, probably passes for a civilized conversation. Why? Because she needs something from her. Because she has power over Glory. They didn't come all the way from England to determine whether Buffy was good enough to be let back in. They came to beg her to let them back in, to give their jobs, their lives, some semblance of meaning. Attempting to interject, Nigel says this is beyond insolence. But Buffy, she just throws the sword at him. She's fairly certain she said no interruptions. They're watchers. Without a slayer, they're pretty much just watching masterpiece theater. They can't stop Glory. They can't do anything with the information they have, except maybe publish it in the Everyone Thinks We're Insano's home journal. So here's how it's going to work. They're going to tell Buffy everything they know. Then they're going to go away. They'll contact Buffy if and when they have further information on Glory. The magic shop will remain open. Mr. Giles will stay there as her official watcher, reinstated at full salary, to be paid retroactively from the month he was fired.
Retroactively.
She will continue her work with the help of her friends. Lydia stammers a bit. She really doesn't want a sword thrown at her, but civilians? They're talking about children, Buffy corrects her. They're talking about two very powerful witches and a 1,000-year-old ex-demon. What? Willow's a demon? Anya. Philip wants to know about the boy, saying there's no power there. The boy has clocked more field time than all of them combined. He's part of the unit. Now, they may all be very good at their jobs. The only way they're going to find out is if they work with her. They can take all their time thinking about that, but she wants an answer right now from Quentin because she thinks he's understanding her. I love
how she throws his words back at him.
Yep. And just the pride on Giles's face the entire time she is talking.
Yep. He is a very proud papa.
So this speech, along with the line from Becoming Part Two, these moments are just what make this show so special. Because what she says here, this idea of standing up to those who would take your agency, of reclaiming your power, that is never going to not be relevant. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was Shark Week when I was watching this, and I'm just, but like good tears, like good, like, yes,
yeah,
yes, you get them, girl, kind of tears. But I was bawling. Yeah,
because Buffy, the last time, like this scene, I love this scene so much because the last time Buffy was in the presence of Travers, she had none of her power.
Yeah.
She was absolutely powerless and she was broken by what happened. And this is Buffy at her full strength and her full pride telling Quentin, this is who I am. I am not going to be what you think I should be. And also, you need me.
Yeah.
The Watchers Council would not exist without the Slayer.
No, and like, honestly, at the end of the day, like, what, they were just going to let the world be sucked into hell? That's what,
yeah.
Like, they were going to cave eventually.
Oh, yeah. But they wanted her to be humiliated and embarrassed before they did it. They are trying to get her back for everything else, you know, everything that has happened since she became the Slayer. And her making a fool out of them.
Yeah, like they're upset because she fired them.
Yeah, and she said, she's like, they fired Giles. I don't need you. I need Giles more than I need this dusty ass council that hangs out in England and is not in the middle of this fight.
Yeah.
This group of old men who are okay with sending a teenage girl to fight. Yeah. But yeah, like, what were they going to do?
Yeah.
Like seriously.
Guess what? The world gets sucked into hell. Oh, well. Yeah, no.
Like, it was just so stupid and prideful, like, trying to keep some semblance of control over the situation. Fucking these Travers. People. I know. I love Lydia, though.
Lydia can stay.
Lydia,
she can stay and learn how to not suck from Giles. Everybody else has got to go.
I think, like, Lydia has a lot of potential. And she would get to be closer to Spike.
She would.
She could
would,
study
it would be her dream role.
She like, could just study him like a bug. And he would like honestly, Spike would love somebody following him around, asking him questions about himself. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It's a dream. It's a dream for both of them.
Absolutely. Knowing that sucks to be them. Buffy has them. Quentin agrees to her terms, and the gang cheers. See, no begging. Turning to Giles, Quentin says he thought he saw a bottle of single malt scotch. Giles tries to say he never drinks during work hours, but Quentin doesn't care about that. He just like a drink. Oh, well, he supposes they could. Just a minute. Buffy wants to know about Glory. Well, there's a lot to go through, and just tell her what sort of demon she's fighting. That's the thing. Glory isn't a demon. Then what is she? A god. Oh. The end. Oh, it's just
so,
it's so good. Like, just Buffy, just yes. Yes, I mean, fuck the council, but yes. And then just that ending, that like mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
Glory is a god. And it's, okay. That is it for this week. Thank you all for listening. And make sure to join us next time when we take on season 5, episode 13, Blood Ties. Another one of Buffy's very not good birthdays. Until then, check out our various social media channels, all of which will be listed in the show notes. And if you like the show and you want to let us know it, you can subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts, or write to us directly at thewatchersdiaries@gmail.com. Bye!
Bye!